Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning, Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Neither rain, nor snow, nor sleet, nor hail shall keep the postmen from their appointed rounds. But the threat of default might. The United States Postal Service is facing a deficit of over $9 billion this year, but the biggest deadline right now is September 30th, when the USPS needs to pay $5.5 billion to finance health coverage for future retirees. It's not the first time we've heard about the Postal Service's financial problems. They've existed for about as long as we've had email. But now there's a real serious talk of closing thousands of post offices, scaling back on services like Saturday delivery, and cutting back on the benefits and contract agreements postal workers get. Servicing 150 million addresses isn't cheap. Joining me now to explain how the USPS got in this trouble and how it might get out of it is Ruth Goldway, the chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning. I'm glad to be with you, Andrea.
So before we get into the specifics of what the Postal Service is facing, can you explain the role of the Postal Regulatory Commission, which you chair, and how it differs from the Postal Service?
Sure. The Postal Service is an independent agency of the federal government, wholly owned, set up like a private, well, not company, but a private entity with a board of governors that's supposed to act like a board of directors to make sure that the company or the agency runs smoothly. But the Postal Service is given a monopoly over letter mail and over your letter box, and it controls, therefore, a wide section of communications for the country. And when the Postal Service was established as this separate entity, the Congress also established a Postal Regulatory Commission, and the job was to make sure that the rates the Postal Service would provide for mail would not abuse the monopoly privilege. And the commission's responsibility is to make sure that not just the interests of the Postal Service are maintained, which is what the Postal Service takes care of, but the interests of the mailing public and of the citizens of the United States are taken into account. So we are a regulatory body, just like the Securities and Exchange Commission or the Federal Trade Commission, except that we regulate only the Postal Service.
So as Congress starts weighing its options about what to do, where do you fit in?
Well, we have several functions. We have in the law a requirement that we're supposed to evaluate various funding studies, and we did an independent analysis of the $5.5 billion payment that the Postal Service has been required to pay in each year to prepay health care benefits, and presented to Congress our opinion that that payment is overly ambitious and not really directly related to what's necessary to fund health care benefit prepayment fund, that it could significantly be reduced. We also did an independent study of the Civil Service Retirement Fund, in which the Postal Service has been paying for its retirees for the last 30-some-odd years, and determined that the Postal Service is actually overpaid into that retirement fund by about $50 billion. In other words, subsidizing other federal employees with the money that comes from the rates the Postal Service gets. So we've done those two things.
So
we also provide legislative recommendations to the Congress.
So you said that the Postal Service is set up like a private entity. That mm-hmm. Does that mean that it's raising its own revenue, or does that mean,
yes,
I mean, how does that work?
The Postal Service operates solely on the revenue it gets from postage, and it's been doing that since 1971. It doesn't get taxpayer money. It does get the benefit of the monopoly. It doesn't have to pay local taxes. It did get the property that had belonged to the post office before it became this private entity. but it has been operating entirely as an independent agency, not supported by the federal government, since 1971.
So it seems to me that, you know, mailing a letter is a pretty good deal.
You bet.
Pay 44 cents and, you know, basically what you're sending, your correspondence gets anywhere in America in a few days.
That's exactly right, and sealed against inspection. No one else gets to see it. Totally private,
so
not like email.
Why not just raise the price of a stamp and, you know, call it a day?
Well, until 2006, the Postal Service had a system where if its costs went up, it could come to the commission, tell us what its costs were, and we would help them decide how to allocate those costs to different pieces of mail and set rates. But after 2006, the Congress changed that, said that that wasn't forcing the Postal Service to be efficient enough, and they instead put in a price cap mechanism so the Postal Service can't raise rates above the rate of inflation. Now, when that law was passed, inflation was averaging 3-5% a year. As soon as it was passed, we had the recession and inflation. In fact, we had a period of deflation. So the Postal Service was not able to raise rates at all, and it is, to the extent it is able to raise rates, it's a very small amount, and not enough to cover the difference between its costs rising and the fact that people are mailing less mail.
All right, let's take some calls. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Ruth Goldway, the chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission. We're talking about the financial troubles of the United States Postal Service. If you would like to give us a call on what you might be willing to give up here, would you like to re-empower the Postal Service to raise the price of postage to pay for its operating expenses? Would you forego Saturday delivery? Is it a wise idea to lay off postal workers? 212-433-WNYC. Now, Ruth Goldway, you were saying that for a long time, the Postal Service, which is a private entity which raises its own money, was actually funding other parts of the federal government. So what is it asking for here? Is it asking for that money back?
Yes. It's basically that's what it's saying. In addition to having paid in more money into the pension funds than we think it needed to operate fairly, and therefore giving the other federal workers the benefit of that money, they have now been required to prepay their health care retirement fund, to set up a separate fund so that the income from that will pay for health care retirees. No other federal agency has to do that. Almost no private agency has to do that. And in addition, they were asked to set up a fund that would be fully funded within 10 years and at a rate that assumed 800,000 employees. Well, they're now down below 600,000 employees. So for all kinds of reasons, that payment should be either stopped or reduced. And that's that $5.5 billion payment that you were talking about in your introduction that the Postal Service may have to default on because it simply doesn't have enough cash to pay for that. What the Postal Service would like is to get credit for the overpayment that they've already made into the pension fund and say, let's use that money to pay for the health care retiree benefit fund, and therefore we wouldn't have to give $5.5 billion of money that's coming from postage this year into the federal government.
And what is the, sort of predilection of Congress to do that?
Well, I would say that there's a bipartisan support in the Senate for relief for the Postal Service for this payment. There are two different bills that have been introduced, both of which are based on the study that our commission did showing that there was a surplus and an overly ambitious payment. And there are a couple of bills in the House that have been introduced by Democrats. But it doesn't appear that the Republicans in the House are anxious to move forward. Congressman Issa, who heads the Government Reform Committee in the House, has a different proposal, presuming the Postal Service will default and then imposing a kind of a control board over the Postal Service to manage them rather than having their existing management manage them.
All right.
So I'm not sure that we do. Now, the president may support a relief as well. He says that in the message that he's going to present to the super committee that's looking at deficits, that he is going to have a proposal to help the Postal Service.
Now, what are we looking at here? The agency has asked Congress to lay off 120,000 workers and get rid of 100,000 positions through attrition. I mean, that seems enormous.
Yes. It's a huge change. The Postal Service has already cut its workforce by a third, and this would be another 40%.
Is that likely to happen?
Well, it's hard to tell. I had really thought until the problems that the Congress had with regard to settling the national debt, the debt ceiling, that we would get a consensus and that the Postal Service would be able to manage. But after that very contentious debate, most of us who are dealing with postal issues are really concerned that we won't get a consensus from Congress as to how to act. And the Postal Service cannot change the labor laws under which it operates without congressional action. So the best it could do would be to continue to do the attrition that's been continuing.
All right,
the Postal Service can't not pay the $5.5 billion without some congressional action either.
Let's take some calls. Jacob from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi, I'm so glad that you're having this discussion. This is my first time calling, long-time listener. But
well, welcome.
Thank you. I feel that the problem here is that, it's the United States Postal offers horrible service. Now, yesterday I went into the post office. I had changed my mailing address a month prior. I went in person, filled the form. I did it online, and their online system did not work, and I tried to do a mail-in system. With all three systems, which I put a lot of time in, they still got my mail address changed wrong. Now I'm not getting any of my mail. When I go to the post office now for the second time to say, why am I not getting my mail? They say, you have to call up this number. I spent all of yesterday calling United States Postal after waiting on hold through
I want to get to some other callers, but clearly you had a sort of nasty customer service problem with the post office. And Ruth Goldway, the UPS and FedEx spend less on labor than the Postal Service. In fact, the Postmaster General Patrick Donahue testified last week that the U.S. Postal Service needs to operate more like these private competitors. So, is this an issue that part of the problem here that the Postal Service doesn't have a customer service model like some of the private companies?
I think it's quite true that the Postal Service, having been a monopoly for so long, never really developed a culture of customer service. They do have a remarkably good culture of delivery of mail, and they've been, as you said earlier, really efficient at doing that. But they're not good at customer service, and they're not good at being flexible. So when the market changes and they need to be more innovative and they need to have higher qualities of service so they have customer loyalty, they haven't been able to develop that. What they focus on now is their big mailers, the big commercial mailers and the big bill payers. And they have really drained the resources in the last 5 years from any of the work that they did with providing customer support. Post offices haven't even been painted in the last 10 years, and they're closing post offices and trying to reduce the number of clerks, saving money there in ways that I think for the long term of the Postal Service are not very wise.
All right, let's take at least one more caller. Jean from Manhattan. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, I'm Jean Balderston from Manhattan Island, and I spend part of the year on a tiny island in the Atlantic in Maine, which is one of the two islands in Maine which are in deep jeopardy because of these postal changes. There are 45 people on our island in the winter, and the tiny store is open only one day a week, so the post office idea of having services done through other commercial services would not work. Plus, even if they did have a tiny store open, the postmaster, who's been in service for 13 years and is a local islander born and bred and lived all of her life on the island, would lose her job to whoever was running the store, mm-hmm. because they couldn't afford to keep her on. The most important thing for tiny islands like these in Maine is keeping the store and the school open. Otherwise, they become summer islands, and it's crucial that they remain year-round islands. I would add here that the island has been forced to vote by absentee ballot, and so without a post office, they would have to go 4 hours round trip for their right to vote. It could be taxation without representation.
All right, Jean, we have to end it there. Ruth Goldway, you know, we sort of have to wrap up pretty quickly, but what do you think the likelihood is that people are going to see these service changes, you know, no Saturday delivery, post offices closed in the very near future?
Well, I think there's certainly going to be fewer post offices, although I hope that the special role that the Postal Service has in rural America will be maintained. But there's going to have to be fewer post offices. I think the question of Saturday delivery is up to the Congress. They have to vote on it. Again, it's really important in rural areas, and I think it's important for the future of the mail if they're going to grow their package delivery system. But they will have to look at cutting costs if the Congress is not willing to act on giving them some relief on this $5.5
billion. You've been credited with pushing for the forever stamp, a stamp that
is
basically valid
true.
Forever for first class. So does forever include if the Postal Service goes bankrupt?
Well, you know, the Postal Service is the one national monopoly that the government has. It's actually in the Constitution that the government should provide a post service. And in spite of the Internet and all the other options we have for communicating, the Postal Service is remarkably viable and important, as this woman who just spoke to you indicated, for voting, for economic development in the communities, and for really private, secure information. So I can't believe we will be without it. I think any civilized country needs a strong, secure postal service. But it may well have to be reconfigured over the next few years as Congress and the President work these things out.
All right, and we have to end it there. Thank you so much. My guest has been Ruth Goldway, Chair of the Postal Regulatory Commission, an independent agency which oversees the Postal Service. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, David Carr of the New York Times on the ethics of tech blogs.